It seems like everyone's always talking about feedback these days.
It's everywhere, right?
Everywhere. Performance reviews at work.
Comments online.
Family giving you their two cents.
Yeah, but not all feedback is helpful feedback.
That's for sure.
Yeah.
So how do we figure out what feedback actually matters?
And how do we use it to improve?
Right. Improve a project, a business, even just ourselves, personally. Well, luckily, that's what we're diving into today.
That's right.
We've got this source, podcast gathering and analyzing feedback. And let me tell you, it's packed with useful tips.
Oh, yeah, this source is great. It really gets right to the point. You know why feedback matters so much. It lists four big benefits.
Okay, I'm intrigued. Let's hear them.
Well, first of all, think about it. You're working on something, you're so close to it.
You can't see the forest for the trees, right?
Exactly. Feedback, especially from people who aren't in your everyday bubble, while they can point out problems you might be missing.
That makes me think of this one time I was working on a new feature for a product. I thought it was amazing. But when I showed it to some beta testers, their feedback, well, it wasn't pretty. Turns out I was way off base.
See, Anne, that's how feedback can save you. Imagine if you launched that feature without getting feedback.
Oh, it would have been a disaster.
You would have wasted so much time and energy on something that just wasn't working.
Okay, so feedback helps us avoid those big flops. What's the next benefit?
All right, so the next one is all about making what you offer better.
You mean refining it, making it top-notch?
Exactly. You can polish and tweak all you want, but until you get feedback from your audience, you're just guessing.
That reminds me of when I used to write these super long blog posts and I'd spend hours perfecting them. But no one cared. They were interested in something totally different. So yeah, feedback helps you focus on what people actually want and need.
It keeps you on the right track.
Right. Okay, what's the third benefit?
Benefit number three is all about satisfaction. And I'm talking about your satisfaction and the satisfaction of your audience, the people using what you make or do.
Right, so when you listen to feedback, you end up creating things that are just better for everyone.
More user-friendly, more effective, just plain better.
Makes sense for business. But what about personal growth? Does feedback play a role there too?
Oh, absolutely. Think about it. When someone gives you feedback that helps you learn a new skill or overcome a challenge, it's motivating. It makes you feel good, like you're accomplishing something, and it makes you want to keep learning and growing.
I'm starting to see how important this is. So, feedback makes us better and it keeps us motivated. What's the last benefit?
Last but definitely not least, feedback sparks innovation.
Innovation, huh?
Yep. When you get feedback from different people with different perspectives, well, can make you think outside the box.
You mean challenge your assumptions? Come up with brand new ideas?
Exactly. Feedback isn't just about fixing problems, it's about coming up with amazing new solutions that you might never have thought of on your own.
So, it's about pushing boundaries, being creative.
Exactly. And this source, it doesn't stop there. It goes on to explain how to gather and use feedback effectively.
Okay, now we're getting to the nitty-gritty. Where do we even start?
The first step is choosing the right way to collect that feedback. The source calls them channels.
Channels. Okay, and how many of these channels are we talking about?
Five.
Five different channels. All right, lay it on me. What's the first one?
Online surveys. Surveys are great for getting lots of structured feedback.
Structured feedback, meaning everyone gets the same questions.
Right. It helps you compare answers easily. You've probably taken these surveys before, like after you buy something
Oh,
online.
yeah, those customer satisfaction surveys. I get those all the time.
Yeah.
But I can see how surveys could be helpful in other situations too.
Absolutely, like market research or figuring out what people think about a new product idea.
Okay, so surveys are good for big picture stuff.
Right. Now, email
Okay.
outreach, that's more one-on-one.
More personal.
Yeah, perfect for getting deep feedback from, say, a mentor or advisor.
So instead of blasting out a survey to everyone, I'm taking the time to write individual emails.
Exactly. It shows you really care about what they think.
Okay, makes sense. What's next?
For a really quick pulse check, there's social media polls.
Oh, I love those. They're so easy to set up and you get results instantly.
Exactly. Great for gauging interest or getting a quick read on what people are thinking.
Okay, so we've got surveys, email, and social media polls. What's next?
Then there's live chat. That's all about real-time feedback.
Real time. So it's happening right then and there.
Exactly. Perfect for troubleshooting problems or answering questions as they come up.
I bet that's a lifesaver for customer support teams.
Totally. And last but not least, direct messages. They give people a private way to give feedback.
Right, like if they have a sensitive issue they want to address.
Exactly. So there you have it, five different channels for gathering feedback.
Wow, that's a lot of options. How do we know which one to use?
Well, it really depends on what you need feedback on, who you're asking, and what's going on.
So one size doesn't fit all.
Not at all. You've got to pick the channel that makes the most sense for your situation.
All right, makes sense. But what happens once we've actually gathered all this feedback? I imagine things can get a bit messy.
That's where a feedback management system comes in. And this source has some great tips for staying organized.
Okay, I'm all ears. Organization is not my strong suit.
Well, first things first, create a centralized place for all your
A
feedback.
central hub. So instead of having feedback scattered all over the place,
Emails, notes, spreadsheets.
exactly, I can just go to this one place and see everything.
Exactly. It could be as simple as a folder or as fancy as a project management software. Whatever works for you.
Okay, that makes so much sense. So everything's in one place. What's next?
To make sure you don't miss anything important, set up some alerts.
Alerts.
Yeah, like if someone leaves a negative review or there's an urgent issue that needs your attention.
So I don't have to constantly be checking for these things.
Exactly. The alerts will tell you what needs your attention right away.
Love it. That's going to save me so much time and stress. Okay, so we've got a central system and alerts. Anything else?
Last but not least, task assignment. Once you've got all your feedback organized, you can start delegating.
Delegating, meaning giving tasks to other people.
Exactly. Or even assigning tasks to yourself to make sure that the feedback actually leads to action.
Oh, I am so guilty of letting feedback just sit there.
It's easy to do, right? But when you create a system for acting on feedback, well, that's when it becomes truly powerful.
So it's not enough to just collect feedback. We have to actually do something with it. Makes perfect sense. So we've collected the feedback, we've organized it. What happens next?
Now comes the really interesting part. It's time to analyze that data.
Ooh, data analysis. Sounds complicated, but also kind of exciting.
It is exciting. The source talks about three ways to analyze feedback.
Three ways. Okay, I'm ready. Hit me with the first one.
First up, quantitative analysis.
Quantitative analysis. That sounds very mathematical.
It is all about numbers.
Numbers. Like how many people responded to a survey?
Exactly. Or things like average ratings or percentages. This type of analysis helps you spot trends that you might not notice just by glancing at the feedback.
So it's about looking beyond individual comments and seeing the bigger picture.
Exactly. For example, if you notice that a large chunk of your customers are unhappy with a specific feature.
That's a pretty clear sign that something needs to change, right?
Right. Quantitative analysis helps you pinpoint those areas for improvement.
Okay, so quantitative analysis is all about the numbers. What's the second method?
Qualitative analysis. This one is all about understanding the why behind the numbers.
So instead of just seeing that a certain number of people dislike something, we're digging deeper into their reasons.
Exactly. You're reading through those open-ended comments in surveys, customer reviews, or social media posts.
Looking for patterns, themes, or even just strong emotions.
Exactly. For example, you might notice that a lot of people are complaining about a product being difficult to use. Qualitative analysis helps you figure out what exactly is causing the difficulty.
So you can actually fix the problem.
Right. It's like detective work.
I love that. I'm picturing myself with a magnifying glass combing through feedback, looking for clues.
And then there's competitive benchmarking.
Competitive benchmarking. Okay, that sounds a bit intimidating.
It's actually very simple. It just means comparing your findings to what's happening in your industry.
So I'm looking at what my competitors are doing, how they're handling feedback.
Exactly. It can help you identify areas where you're excelling and areas where you might need to catch up.
So it's about learning from the best and pushing ourselves to be even better.
Precisely. Competitive benchmarking can be a real game changer, especially when it comes to innovation.
Wow, this whole data analysis thing is fascinating. It really does transform raw feedback into actionable insights.
It does. And with the right tools and a little bit of curiosity, anyone can do it.
That's encouraging. It makes me feel like I can actually take control of my feedback and use it to make smarter decisions.
Exactly. And remember, data analysis isn't a one-time thing. It's an ongoing process that should be integrated into everything you do.
So it's about staying curious, being open to new information, and always looking for ways to improve.
Absolutely. And that brings us to the next important step, closing the loop.
Closing the loop. I'm intrigued. Tell me more.
It's all about responding to the feedback you've received, acknowledging it, acting on it, showing the people who gave you feedback that you were listening and that their input matters.
That makes so much sense. It's about respect, really, showing people that their time and effort were valued.
Exactly. And it doesn't have to be complicated. A simple thank you, a quick update on how you use their feedback, even just acknowledging their concern can go a long way.
Small gestures can make a big difference. Okay, but what are some real-world examples of this closing the loop thing in action?
Sure. Imagine you're a software developer and you get feedback that a new feature is confusing. In your next update, you could mention how you've simplified the design based on user feedback.
That's a great example. It shows transparency and that you're listening to your user.
Right. Or let's say you're a blogger and you get a bunch of comments on a post. You could write a follow-up addressing those comments, explaining how they shaped your thinking.
I love that. It keeps the conversation going and makes people feel like they're part of the process.
Exactly. And sometimes closing the loop can be as simple as sending a personal email to a mentor, thanking them for their advice and letting them know how it helped you.
Ah, little thank you note, showing them the impact of their guidance.
Exactly. And when you close the loop, it encourages people to give you more thoughtful feedback in the future.
It's like you're building a relationship based on trust and mutual respect.
That's a great way to put it. And that brings us to the final key takeaway from this source, continuous iteration.
Continuous iteration. Okay, I'm sensing a theme here. Feedback isn't a one-time thing.
You got it. It's an ongoing process, a key part of any successful endeavor.
So whether we're talking about work, personal projects, or even just personal growth,
it's all about staying open to new ideas, constantly seeking feedback, and always looking for ways to improve.
So how do we embrace this idea of continuous iteration? The source mentions three strategies.
Right. First up, regular audits. Think of these as checkups for your feedback system.
Checkups. So we're taking a step back and evaluating how things are going.
Exactly. Asking questions like, are our solutions working? Are we addressing the right issues? Are there any blind spots we need to be aware of?
Makes sense. It's like taking a pulse check to make sure everything is still on track.
Then there's ongoing communication. Mm-hmm. It's all about creating a culture where feedback is welcomed and encouraged. Regularly asking for feedback, having an open door policy, making people feel comfortable sharing their thoughts.
So it's about making feedback a regular part of the conversation, not just something we do once a year during performance reviews.
Exactly. And lastly, scalable strategies. As your project or business grows, you'll need to adjust your feedback processes to handle larger volumes of data.
So what worked when you were just starting out might not be sustainable as you scale up. It's about adapting, finding ways to streamline the process, and maybe even using technology to help manage all that feedback.
You got it. Continuous iteration is all about embracing the fact that learning and growth never truly stop. It's about constantly seeking feedback, adapting your approach, and striving to be better today than you were yesterday.
This is incredibly inspiring. It's like you're giving us permission to be lifelong learners, to constantly evolve, and to never be afraid to ask for feedback along the way.
That's exactly the message I hope you take away from this deep dive. Feedback isn't something to be feared or avoided. It's a powerful tool for unlocking your full potential.
Okay, we've covered a lot of ground today, from the fundamental benefits of feedback to the practical strategies for gathering, analyzing, and acting on it effectively. Before we wrap things up, let's recap some of the key takeaways and leave you with something to ponder as you embark on your own feedback ninja journey.
That sounds great. So let's take a minute and remember what we've talked about today.
Yeah, let's do a quick recap.
We started with those four big benefits of feedback.
Pinpointing problems, refining what we offer, boosting satisfaction, and sparking innovation. It's like feedback is the secret sauce to success.
And then we got into the nitty-gritty of actually using feedback.
Right. We talked about those five different channels.
Online surveys, email, social media polls.
Live chat, direct messages.
So many options.
It can be overwhelming. But we talk about how a feedback management system can really help.
A central hub for all your feedback, alerts for urgent issues, and a system for assigning tasks.
It's all about turning that feedback into action.
Exactly. And then we put on our detective hats and dove into data analysis.
Quantitative, qualitative, and competitive benchmarking.
Three powerful tools for extracting meaning from all that feedback.
It's like we're turning data into gold.
And we can't forget about closing the loop. Showing the people who gave us feedback that we appreciate their input.
And that we're actually using it to improve.
Right. A simple thank you can go a long way.
It's about building those relationships.
And finally, we talked about continuous iteration. The idea that feedback is an ongoing process.
Always learning, always growing, always seeking ways to be better.
You know, it's interesting. This source focuses mainly on feedback in a professional setting.
But I think these principles apply to pretty much every area of life.
Oh, absolutely. Relationships, personal growth, creative projects. Feedback is essential for improvement, no matter what you're doing.
It's all about having a growth mindset.
That's a great point.
But what does that really mean, having a growth mindset when it comes to feedback?
Well, it's about believing that we can always learn and improve.
So instead of seeing feedback as criticism,
we see it as an opportunity.
An opportunity to grow and get better.
Exactly. And that can be really powerful, you know, and embracing the idea that we're not perfect, that we can always learn from our mistakes.
It reminds me of this quote by Carol Dweck. She's a researcher who studies growth mindset. She says, "The passion for stretching yourself and sticking to it, even when it's not going well, is the hallmark of the growth mindset."
That's so true. Embracing feedback, it's not always easy.
Especially when it's negative or points out our flaws.
But it's in those tough moments that a growth mindset really matters.
It's about remembering that setbacks and challenges are part of the process.
And feedback, even the tough kind, can help us learn and grow.
So it's like a compass guiding us towards our goals.
Exactly. And, you know, as we wrap up this part of our deep dive, I'm left with a question for our listeners.
Oh, a question. I love questions.
We've talked about the mechanics of feedback, the systems, the data analysis.
Right.
But what about the emotional side of things? How do we find the courage to actually seek out feedback?
Especially when it might be hard to hear.
That's a great question to think about.
And it leads perfectly into my final thought. So we've got these systems, we analyze the data, but how do we actually get to that point? You know, having that growth mindset where we're not afraid of feedback.
It's tough, right? I mean, we can talk about all the benefits, but when someone criticizes our work, it's hard not to take it personally.
So true. It can feel like a punch to the gut, even when we know it's meant to be helpful.
Exactly. I think one thing that helps is changing how we think about mistakes.
Mistakes. Everyone makes those.
Of course. But instead of seeing them as failures, what if we saw them as learning experiences?
So like every time we mess up, it's a chance to figure out what went wrong and do better next time.
Exactly. And feedback is a huge part of that. It helps us pinpoint those mistakes and figure out why they happened.
So we can avoid making them again.
Right. It's all about learning and growing.
You know, this reminds me of something we talked about earlier, innovation.
Oh, yeah.
If we're too scared to make mistakes, we'll never try anything new.
That's so true. We've got to be willing to experiment, to take risks, even if it means messing up sometimes.
So embracing feedback and embracing mistakes, they kind of go together.
They do. They both require us to be vulnerable, to admit that we don't know everything.
And that takes courage.
It does. It takes courage to ask for feedback, knowing that it might not be easy to hear.
And it takes courage to accept that feedback and use it to improve.
It's like a muscle we have to build.
A feedback muscle.
Exactly. The more we practice receiving feedback, the easier it gets.
We become less defensive, more open to learning.
And ultimately, more successful.
Because we're constantly growing and evolving.
Exactly. It all comes down to that shift in mindset from fear to curiosity.
This has been such an insightful conversation. We've covered so much ground.
We have. From the nitty-gritty of feedback systems to the deeper stuff, like developing a growth mindset.
And I hope our listeners feel empowered to take all this information and put it into practice.
Whether it's in their careers, their creative pursuits, or their personal lives.
Because feedback, it's not just about improving our work, it's about becoming better human beings.
Well said. And as we wrap things up, I want to leave our listeners with one last thought.
Okay, hit us with it.
Don't be afraid to ask for feedback. And don't be afraid to make mistakes. Embrace the journey of learning and growth. I promise you, amazing things will happen.
That's a perfect note to end on. So until next time, stay curious, stay engaged, and keep diving deep.